flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. My dear people, today's gospel message, the proclamation of the good news, the kerygma, is a matter of eternal life and eternal death. How many times have we heard this reading from John's gospel, and yet it's not having an impact on us? But it states pretty clearly what this is all about. And if we look back to Jesus on Holy Thursday in the upper room, breaking bread, giving it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body," handing them the chalice, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you do this in remembrance of me." That is what we do every time we come to Mass. And when Jesus poured himself out completely on the cross of Calvary, and that soldier pierced his side with the lance and blood and water flowed out, that grace and that mercy that overflows to us has given us that ability to respond to God's call in our lives, yes. And I think it's important for us to have context. And so we only heard a small portion of the Bread of Life discourse in John's Gospel, chapter 6. But the story continues. So we heard that the Jews quarreled among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink?" The story continues. Many of them walked away that day and no longer accompanied Jesus. Jesus didn't call them back and say, "Guys, you misunderstood. I was only speaking symbolically." No, he let them walk away. And not only did he let them walk away, he then turned to the 12 and said, "Do you too wish to leave?" Why is that important? Because it shows us the validity of the sacrament, the credibility, the integrity, and the Catholic Church has been doing this since the beginning. I know I have asked you before, but I will ask you again today. Read paragraph 1345 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. In that paragraph, there is a letter from St. Justin the Martyr written around the year 155 AD, and he explains what happens on the day of the sun, Sunday. And if you didn't know that letter was written in the 100s, you could very well read that and say it was written in 2023, because the Catholic Church has been faithful in living up to the mandate of Jesus, "Do this in remembrance of me." Every time we come to Mass, we are standing at the foot of the cross. It is the one sacrifice of Calvary made present to us, and Jesus pours himself out completely for us. But that kind of love demands a response from us. We cannot simply sit here week after week and be hearers of the word. We have to be doers of the word. And I know Father Joe and Deacon Rob kicked off the year of the Eucharistic revival last week, but the statistics that show the lack of faith in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist are disturbing, to say the least. Before the pandemic, only about 25 to 30% of Catholics in the United States were attending Mass on a weekly basis. That fluctuated depending upon what region of the country you were in. Many of the European countries are down to 5 to 10% of Catholics attending Mass on a regular basis. A few months ago, I read an article that since the pandemic in Belgium, they are down to 2.5%. Just as the Jews walked away, how many today are still walking away? When yet Jesus says, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." How could we walk away from that? Have we in church leadership failed to teach the fullness of the truth? Or has the culture simply won over so much that, this is a nice thing, but it's just one among many? Think about all of the people in the nearly 40,000 different denominations of Christians who do not have access to the Eucharist. If we believe what sacred scripture says, today's an important day to listen to it. It's about our relationship with Almighty God who has poured himself out completely for us. And as I look ahead to this Friday, we celebrate the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I've been reading a book by Father John Croisset written in the 1600s. He worked closely with St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, to whom we owe a debt of gratitude for giving us the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The book is about this thick, but I was amazed the other day. I read a paragraph, and he said, true devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is true devotion to the sacrament of the Eucharist, because Jesus poured out his heart fully in giving himself to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. Why do I share that with you? Because the month of June is dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And years ago, I attended some training for people in church leadership positions. And one of the speakers said, you have no right to teach or to preach to anyone unless you have first prayed for them. I have taken that message seriously every day since then. All of us in the clergy are required to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. It's the prayer of the church, and so we pray for the church all the time. But each time I'm scheduled to preach, or I lead a retreat, or preach a parish mission, once I put that on my calendar, I begin praying for myself as I prepare. I begin praying for anyone who will be in attendance and hearing. Because it's not my words that are going to impact your life, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit that will impact and change your life. And so since June 1st, when I began preparing for today, I have been praying the Litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus for your intentions, that God will meet you at the point of your need today and lift you up. Because the true devotion to the Sacred Heart is true devotion to the sacrament of the Eucharist. And Father John Croisset, when he was kind of one of the early ones who developed the Litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, a year after St. Margaret Mary Alacoque died, it has been altered a couple times in the last 200 years. But Pope Leo XIII in 1899 approved for public use the current devotion of the Litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And it's funny, after a couple of times of additions and adjustments, I realized that there are exactly 33 invocations to the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the Litany of the Sacred Heart, one for every year of the life of Jesus. I have prayed that every day for you the last 11 days so that your heart is open to the movement of God's grace, because today's message is a matter of life and death. My dear people, my homework assignment for you is twofold. Number one, read paragraph 1345 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. If you do not have a copy, you can find it online. Secondly, we only heard a small portion of the Bread of Life discourse today. My challenge, my invitation, my pleading, my begging, whatever works for you to get you to respond, is to read one chapter of the Bible a day for 31 days. And what chapter? I want you to read John's Gospel, chapter 6, every day for 31 days. If you start today on June 11th, you'll finish on July 11th, the Feast of Saint Benedict. Maybe make a short pilgrimage up to the Abbey of Saint Walburga. But I want to encourage you to do this, because if you read chapter 6 of John's Gospel, the Bread of Life discourse, there is no way that you will continue to come to Mass with lukewarmness. You won't come out of a sense of routine. We will come and we will receive the Lord worthily. We will be so convicted in our heart that if we have mortal sin, serious sin in our lives, we will go to the sacrament of penance and confess that sin to the priest who sits in the person of Christ. It is Christ who forgives through the ministry of the priest. We confess that sin. We walk out of the confessional. We've been set free from the bondage of sin. We can now approach the altar of sacrifice, the table of the Lord, worthily. And if we receive our Lord in a state of grace, there is no limit to the power of God's transforming love in our lives. When we receive communion, let's just do a checkup on how we receive. Are we doing it reverently and devoutly? Whether you receive on the tongue or in the hand, are you receiving devoutly? If you receive in the hand, I would just like to encourage you, make your palm as flat as possible. Put your dominant hand underneath, shape as a throne. Allow the minister to place the communion host completely in your palm before you reach for it. You see, because the priest, through his consecrated hands, is where we get the Eucharist. The priest is the only one that takes Holy Communion. The rest of us receive Holy Communion. So allow the minister to place the host. Don't try to take it out of their hand. Why is this important? Because we come with humble and contrite hearts to receive our Lord in Holy Communion, recognizing that we are unworthy and it is only by the grace of God that we have the ability to approach this awesome sacrament. My dear people, don't let today just be another day. Let today be the day that the body and blood of Christ begins to transform your life. May the body and blood of Christ bring each of us to everlasting life.